Good morning, and it's good to see everyone this morning. It's good to be able to come together to worship God. It's good to see our visitors. We're thankful for your presence, and we invite you back at the next opportunity that you have. It's good to be able to come together to worship God, and it's good to be able to spend time now in a study of God's Word. I remember when I was a child, there were a few times back in the 1970s, a few times where I was with my father when he went to buy a car. And if you remember those old days, you would go to the dealership or the car lot, and you would find the car that you wanted, and a salesman would come out. And you would start talking about price, and I remember as a child just being with him and standing around, and the dad would offer a price on the car, and the salesman would say, well, just hold on a minute. And he would pull out a little book, and it was that little NADA book. It was that book that had the car prices in it. And he would look at that and flip over and he'd say, well, you know, I don't know if I can take that. Can you do such and such? And then the bargaining, you know, would go back and forth. But the man always had the little book. He always had the little book. You know what that was? That was the NADA book. That was the book that had the car prices, what a value of a car is. And do you know who had that book? Nobody but the man did. The general public, that was not given to the general public. And so you were on the defensive. You were the one that didn't know. And so you kind of go back and forth in price. But he knew what the value of that car was. And he knew how much above or below they could do that. But you didn't know that. He did. He had that knowledge. And I remember that. And I don't know why, but just that it was yellow, the one that I saw different times. He always had that book. And maybe Dad would say, well, we'll go look at another car. And when it came time to offer the price, Dad would say, well, I'll give you such and such for it. And he'd say, well, let me just see something. He'd look at that little book. Do you know today it's different? Do you know today that little book and several other resources are all online? One reason why car companies like CarMax and even dealerships now are doing it, where they give you the no-haggle price, do you know why they do that? Because the average person coming in to buy a car, they already know what that car is worth. They've gotten on NADA.com. You can do that. You can get on Edmunds.com. You can get on KellyBlueBook.com, and you can know exactly what that specific car, you can even type in the VIN number, what that specific car is worth. We have an expression, knowledge is power. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Knowledge is power. When you know something, you're in the driver's seat. And when you go to buy that car today, you can know exactly, and I've done it before, maybe some of you have done it before, you know exactly what that car is worth. And so when the salesman says, well, we're offering it for such and such, you already know that he's padded in $1,500 or whatever it is. And I've even told them, I've said before, well, I know that the car is worth such and such. So it sounds like you have about $1,500 padded into this car. We need to come down on that a little bit. Because it's worth such and such. And then, well, I need to go talk with my manager and so forth. You can know that. And you have the power then to be comfortable in a particular number one way or the other. Whereas in the old days, they had you over a barrel. They were the ones who knew it, and you didn't know it. It's not like that today. And so one reason why a number of people are going to this no-haggle price, they know you can sit there with your phone. While they're talking about, you can sit there on your phone and just say, well, I know that this particular car is worth such and such, and I'm just not going to pay X amount over that. And they know that, and you know that, and everybody knows that now. And so it's really changed the whole game of car buying, for example. We have an expression, knowledge is power. And I want to talk about that this morning with regard to our lives in relationship to God. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Truth, knowledge, has the power to free us. It has the power to put us in a position where we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. This expression, knowledge is power, has been commonly attributed to Francis Bacon in the late 1500s. the expression that he used was a little bit different, but it's traced back to him. He said knowledge itself is power in one of his books, Meditations, the Sacred Meditations, 1597. Ipsa scientia potestas est, the Latin, knowledge itself is power. What does that mean? That means when you know something, you are in the driver's seat. You are in control. You know what needs to be done. And it's actually a liberating thing. When your child is born into the world, and there's some problems. It looks like they're not eating right or they're not feeling right, and just on a regular basis. And maybe something's wrong with their skin, and there's just something not right there. And you go, and we have doctors and physicians now that can examine some things, and they say, oh, we know what the problem is. It's such and such. And they begin to give them the medicine or the treatment and to solve it. And you know now what is going on, and you can take care of that. We have apps on our phones. You can go on vacation and you have apps on our phones that will track every portion of your travels through GPS, and it'll tell you 5 miles down the road there's a major blockage. And if you'll take such and such road right now, you can go right around that. You don't have to sit there for 3 hours. That's powerful. That's nice. You wouldn't have known that otherwise. And so when you know something, it puts you in a position to make some decisions and to solve some things and to know some things, and it's a very powerful thing. And I want us to consider that with regard to our relationship to God and God's Word. We want to talk a little bit this morning about the power really that is in the knowledge of God's Word. We have these expressions, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. That still goes on today. My mind's made up, don't want to know anything else, don't want to hear anything else, I'm fine. You know, don't confuse me with what's really the truth. I'm happy, I'm satisfied, and a lot of people live their lives that way. The problem with that is we may not know, our mind may be made up, that's true, but it may not be made up with the right things. And we could be putting our lives in jeopardy. We have another expression, ignorance is bliss. It really isn't. You've been in positions, I'm sure, and I've been in positions where we're doing something and we were ignorant of what we were doing and we almost got killed. I told you before about almost cutting my finger off because I was doing something with the garage door opener that was, I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I did, and it sliced it down to the bone, and when it threw the tool out, it almost hit me in the head. It would have knocked me off the ladder. I would have been in serious trouble. I was doing something I didn't know what I was doing. And maybe we've been in that situation, and so we say, well, ignorance is bliss. No, it's not. Ignorance can kill you. Ignorance can maim us. It can hurt us. We're doing things we don't know that we're doing. But if we had the knowledge of what we were doing, then we have the power to avoid those serious things. Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Truth, knowledge, what is actually factual and right, can set us free. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. It gives us the power to liberate us. In fact, ignorance is not bliss. It's the opposite. Ignorance blinds. Turn over to John 9:39 when Jesus healed the blind man. Jesus actually, when that's over with, he begins to teach lessons to the Pharisees who are standing by and they don't want to believe in him. He actually says, you people are blind. They were blind spiritually. But because you say, we see, you become blind. They were blind to the truth. They were blind to wanting to believe in Jesus. Ignorance binds us. It binds us like a slave, and it blinds us. But truth is the opposite. It enlightens us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The God of this world, the devil, the God of this world, wants to keep us in the dark. He wants to keep us blind. He doesn't want knowledge and truth to empower us to come to what is right. He wants us to stay in the dark. And so the God of this world, verse 4, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should not dawn upon them. He does not want us to have that knowledge to get out of his powerful grasp. And we're going to talk about what Larry read around the Lord's table later in the lesson. We're in the power of darkness when we're in sin, but truth can get us out of that power. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about, and I want us to consider this morning, four things with regard to knowledge. The power of knowledge. Knowledge is power. So when we go to buy that car today and we sit down in the office, come on in my office and sit down. You know what? We're sitting down with power of that knowledge of knowing exactly what that car is worth. And whatever they number they might throw out or this or that, you're sitting there comfortable. You're not sweating. You're not in the dark. You're not bothered by the, you know exactly where you're at. And when the person says the number, you say, well, you know, I appreciate that, but that's just not realistic because you and I both know that that car is worth such and such. And oh, then they realize, well, this guy does know something. And it's just, it can be common knowledge to anybody. It's really accessible to anybody. And that and many other things in life illustrate that knowledge is power. Number one, knowledge is power, and it frees us from ignorance. Ignorance abounds in this earth, especially with regard to God's word and even other things. Do you remember the days when people thought the earth was flat and they wouldn't sail their boat too far out into the ocean because they might fall off? That was actually a belief. The Flat Earth Society. It's a flat earth. And Columbus proved them wrong, didn't he? He got out there and the knowledge of truth, well, no, it's not flat. And so that, and I was doing some reading on this week where some used to think that malaria was caused by swamp air. No, not the air. It's the mosquitoes in the swamps, but not the air. And the mosquitoes are carrying that bacteria and it's transferred by blood. So people have all kinds of ideas about things, but they're ignorant of things, and especially of God's Word. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. The Gentile world, for example, was ignorant. Romans and Greeks, they were ignorant of God and Jesus. And the light of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, got them out of that. In Ephesians chapter 4, turn with me to begin reading in verse 17. Paul said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." They've got an empty mind. What's the problem? "Being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God." How? "Because of the ignorance that is in them." Ignorance kept them away from God. "Who, being past feeling, gave themselves up to lasciviousness to walk in all uncleanness." Now look at the contrast. Verse 20. These people in Ephesus. "But you did not so learn Christ." They learned. "If so be that you heard Him and were taught in Him, even as truth is in Jesus." The folks at Ephesus, they were different from the rest of their Gentile world in that they had heard the Word of God. They learned it. They heard it. And it got them out of that ignorance. Ignorance. Look at verse 17 and 18 again. "They were alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance." The same thing in 1 Peter 1:14. In 1 Peter 1:17, ignorant. They just did not know the one true God in Jesus, but the truth of the gospel brought many of them out of that. Do you know what ignorance does? It really causes problems. Just like I told you about almost cutting my finger off. Ignorance, not doing something and you really don't know what you're doing, it can cause a serious problem. And it also does in a spiritual way. Do you know that ignorance was what put Jesus on the cross? Peter says in Acts 3:17, "You did it ignorantly." "I know that you did it ignorantly," Peter said. Do you know that Paul said, look at 1 Timothy 1:13, Paul was talking about how that he persecuted the church. And Paul said that "I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now, Paul's persecution of Christians was pretty severe, wasn't it? What was the cause of it? Well, part of it was his ignorance. Ignorance is not a place that we want to be in or stay in. It promotes wrongdoing. It put Jesus on the cross. It persecuted Christians. You know, ignorance also promotes the wrong kind of worship. Do you remember in Acts chapter 17 when Paul was going to Athens and he says, "I see that there's this altar to an unknown God." And he says, "This God that you worship in ignorance, I set before you." They had all kinds of idolatry and false religion, and much of it was coming from their own ignorance of what they had thought or heard. Turn over to Romans 10. It wasn't just the Gentiles, but some of the Jews. Paul said that you seek to establish your own righteousness, and they were ignorant of God's righteousness. There were Jews who didn't want to follow the gospel plan, and they were ignorant of that, and they didn't want that. And it said they have a zeal. Look at it. They had a zeal, Romans 10, verse 2, but not according to what? Knowledge. They had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They had a religion. Some Jews had a religion, but it was not according to knowledge, and they were ignorant of the righteousness of God that was set forth in the gospel. So ignorance promotes the wrong kind of worship, and it still does even today. Much of what we see today in the denominational world and other religion is just not knowing the truth. It promotes wrongdoing. It promotes false worship. You know, it promotes false teaching. Someone goes out and teaches something, and it's just not the truth. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter describes false teachers as those who are ignorant. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, there are those who twist the scriptures. They distort what the Word of God says, because it says, the ignorant and unsteadfast twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And they begin to teach things that are false. And by the way, look at verse 18. The solution to that is to what? Grow in knowledge. That's how you keep yourself from false teaching. So number one, when we know something, we're no longer ignorant of that something. And we don't have to be blinded, and we don't have to go off and do something wrong. We don't have to engage in any kind of false religion. We just know the truth. We know what the Word of God says. The darkness of ignorance is dispelled by the light of truth. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, be not ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you know that Paul said on several occasions, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be in this state of ignorance. And then he turned it right around in the next verse and what? Told them what they needed to know. I don't want you to be ignorant. And then he tells them what they need to know. Several examples of that in the New Testament. Number one, knowledge is power, and it frees us from ignorance. Number two, it frees us from prejudice. You know, our mind is already made up. Pre-prejudice, pre-judge, we've already got our minds made up. Do you remember back in the 1950s and 1960s, before I was even born? Do you know that the KKK, especially in the South, they would have these Klan meetings and burn crosses, wear the white robes, have these big Klan meetings. Do you know that families were invited to that? Families with little children, they were all invited to that. And there would be a man standing up preaching hate and prejudice, but you know how he framed it? Do you know what he preached? He said it was Christian. It was Christian to be this way. This is the way, and they had crosses, red crosses. It was Christian and biblical to be this way. They said that being black was a curse. It was the curse of Ham. And it's a degenerate people, and they're less than we are. White people are superior, and black people are inferior. And the Bible says, and God wants, they were preaching it in a biblical way, in a Christian way. Well, that's just ignorant. That's not truth. There's not an ounce of truth in any of that. We all come from Adam and Eve, the same family. Paul says in Acts chapter 17, he made of one, Adam and Eve, every nation. That includes black, white, yellow, doesn't matter what color you are. But they preached it as Christian and biblical. And they got it in the minds of these young people. And so they grow up, and some of that is still being carried out today, in the name of Christianity. And the Bible says, and this is what God wants. It was preached as God wants us to stay away from black people. God wants us not to intermingle with them. There's not an ounce of truth in any of that. And so ignorance often leads to prejudice. Do you know prejudice kept people from Jesus? What did Nathanael say? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What was the very next statement? Do you remember? Come and see. Why? Because knowledge, knowing something firsthand, will dispel your prejudice, won't it? The parents of the man born blind, they didn't want to believe in Jesus because, well, the Jews had already agreed that they would be cast out of the synagogue, you see. John 9:22, John 9:34, their minds are already made up. Do you remember in John 11:42-43 that some of the Pharisees believed in Jesus, but they didn't want to confess it, lest they should be cast out of the synagogue? We've already got our minds made up that we don't want to lose our friends. Prejudice. Prejudice kept people from coming to Jesus. But you know what removes prejudice, where our mind is already made up, just being open-minded about the truth? Let's look at an example of that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. You see, knowledge is power, and it can free us from ignorance. It can free us from prejudice. Do you remember in Acts chapter 10 that Peter had this thought as a Jew? He had been raised as a Jew that they were not to mix and mingle with Gentiles and things that were unclean. And especially with regard to food matters and then also social matters. And so in Acts chapter 10, do you remember when Cornelius sent people to Peter and he was going to come back and preach to Cornelius? Do you remember what Peter was doing in the meantime while the guys were coming to Peter? Do you remember he had this vision and there's the, all of these animals are let down and he's told to kill, rise, kill and eat. And Peter says, I am not supposed to eat anything that is common or unclean. Because verse 12, there were some things in there, there were some animals in there that would have been be considered unclean by Levitical law. Leviticus 11 and 12. So I'm not going to eat anything common or unclean. Well, what does he have to learn? What truth does he have to engage in or hear about to do that kind of thing? Well, look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 17. Now, while Peter was much perplexed what the vision had seen, he's thinking about it. Okay? Come on down to Acts chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. Cornelius comes in. Now look at verse 28, Acts 10, 28. You yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself to one of another nation. And yet unto me, look at this, God hath showed. How did he show it? He showed it in a vision. He showed it in a vision. God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Look at verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth. Look at that, truth. Truth was what corrected Peter's prejudice. Truth. Truth in this vision. Truth that God told him, yes, you can, as a Jew, go to someone who is unclean. Of a truth, I perceive. How? Through that vision. He had thought about that vision. He had kept thinking about it and that type of thing. And so it was truth. It was the vision and what he had learned in the vision that told Peter, I can no longer have this prejudice against Gentiles. I need to go to them and preach to them. So of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. What got him out of that? Knowledge. Knowledge and truth. And so he goes and preaches and that family is saved. Turn to Acts 17:11. Do you remember in when Paul is preaching in Thessalonica, some of the Jews there believed, but some of them ran him out of town. They got a hold of Jason and others and caused a problem, and so they had to go to Berea. When they go to Berea, Acts 17:11, these were more noble. Have you ever thought about what that meant? It means that they're more noble than the ones in Thessalonica. They're more noble in that they don't have a prejudiced mind. They simply just open the Scriptures, they examine the Scriptures, and they see what Paul is saying. There's prejudice in Thessalonica. There's open-mindedness to truth in Berea. That's why they're more noble. It was truth. They were willing to examine the Scriptures daily. The other ones in Thessalonica, they were just closed-minded. I don't want to hear that. Berea, they're more noble in that, well, let me hear what the truth says. And they were not like those in Thessalonica. They were not prejudiced. They believed what Paul preached. Turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14. Peter later laughs back into his prejudice a little bit in that he would not he would associate with Gentiles, but when some Jews showed up, he didn't want to act like he was associating with the Gentiles. And Paul says in Galatians 2:14, you are not walking according to the truth. The truth, you see. Truth keeps us away from things that are prejudiced. Knowledge is powerful, and it can free us from having our mind already made up. Number three, knowledge is power, and it can free us from the doctrines of men. There is so much religious division and confusion in the world today that you couldn't even list all of the man-made doctrines. And that's what people are born in. And along with that last note, that matter of prejudice, do you know, and you can see this on the news stories with the ISIS and the militant jihadists, do you know that little boys are out there with guns? Do you know that they're teaching that to the next year? You'll see them walking around, just young boys walking around with guns. There have been news stories of where the backpack bombers, sometimes parents will put that on a child, and send them into a marketplace. The ISIS and the jihadists and the warring in the name of Allah is not just something where adults get together and talk about it. The next generation is being taught that. They're being indoctrinated in that. And hate is being taught. It's being passed on to the next generation. And so they grow up with that prejudice already in their mind against Westerners or Christians or others. They are being born and bred for that and taught that at an early age. And it's a prejudice. It's a doctrine of man. Knowledge can free a person from that. The knowledge of God's word can free a person from that if they'll be open to it. It can free us from the doctrines of men. It's amazing how much false doctrine, especially in regard to religion, is out there. Ignorance leads to prejudice, and often that leads to the false doctrines. There's hundreds of religious groups today. We couldn't even begin to list them all this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 11 and verse 52. Jesus was talking to the religious leaders of the day, in that particular context, the lawyers. He said, "You take away the key of knowledge." How did they take away the key of knowledge? They would not accurately teach the Word of God. They were teaching their doctrines, but not the Word of God. They wouldn't let the people have access to the unadulterated Word of God. There was a time called the Dark Ages in which the Catholic Church would not let the people to the Word of God. Only the priest would have the Word of God. And there were times when the Bible was chained to the pulpit. Because we don't want the masses reading it. We're going to read it and tell them what to believe. Interpret it for them. It keeps them in the dark. That's why it was called the Dark Ages. But what came? The Renaissance and the Enlightenment. And one thing that came was, through the work of John Wycliffe and then later Tyndale, was getting the Word of God into the hands of the lay people. And knowledge is power. And when they read the Word of God for themselves, they say, wait a minute. We don't have to give indulgences. We don't have to confess our sins to a priest. There's nothing in holy water. We don't have to pray to Mary. And on and on and on. Why? Because they knew the truth, and it empowered them to stand up against the religious leadership. And men like Wycliffe began to do that. And Martin Luther did that, and others. And they said, no more. Knowledge is power. But you've taken away the key of knowledge, and it kept people in the dark. So it breeds false doctrine. Jesus said, "You teach the doctrines and commandments of men, and in vain do you worship me." Colossians 2:22, ignorance, false doctrine. We must continually test all things by God's word. And when we read something in the Word of God that is contrary to the way we've been raised and the way we've always heard it, hopefully that knowledge will give us the power, empower us to free us from the way that we've always heard it. Because now we're seeing it for the first time in the truth of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things, including what I say. And for everything that is said here, including that. 1 John 4:1, test the spirits or those who are teaching things. Any man-made doctrine not found in the New Testament gospel of truth must be rejected. There's so many passages here that we don't have time to look at them this morning. Paul tells Timothy and Titus that you stay away from those wranglings of men, the commandments of men, the doctrines of men. It only produces bad things. You stay with the Word of God. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Jesus said of God's word, "Thy word is truth," John 17:17. Jesus was going to send the Spirit of truth, John 14:17, to guide the apostles into all the truth so that people could have truth and not just simply the doctrines of men. And we're not exempt from any of this. Churches of Christ in the past 50 or 60 years have had their doctrines of men that are just as wrong as any other doctrines of men. And we're seeing more and more of that even today. But we can all open up our Bibles and read it in our own language and be empowered and freed from that just simply to follow the New Testament and be a simple New Testament Christian. The doctrines and the commandments of men will be rejected with the right kind of heart when we follow the truth. Paul said, casting down every imagination that is against Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We have to reject and denounce any man-made doctrine, including anything that would come from this pulpit. Casting down imaginations. The word there means reasonings or ideas of men. Any imaginations, reasonings, ideas of men, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. You see. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 14. It is knowledge that is powerful, that frees us. Ephesians 4:14. We're not going to be tossed any longer to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the slide of men. We're not going to do that. Why? Because of verse 13, we attain unto the unity of the faith. Verse 15, we speak the truth in love. Truth and the faith and God's word keeps us from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's powerful and it'll free us. And then last of all, knowledge is power. And the knowledge of God's word will free us from ignorance. It will free us from prejudice. It will free us from man-made doctrine. And ultimately, it'll free us from the sin of the devil. And that's the passage that Matthew read this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Jews were thinking physical freedom. The Jews are thinking physical freedom. And Jesus says, no, there is a spiritual freedom that you need. You need freedom from sin. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered and said, "We are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man." Well, did we forget about the Babylonian captivity? Did we forget about the Assyrian captivity? Have we thought about how the fact that we are under the subjugation of Rome right now? We can't just do anything we want here in Jerusalem. There were Roman soldiers right across town. There's a man named Pilate who's a Roman governor. Yeah, they're in bondage. Well, they're just trying to answer Jesus and get out of something. They're not thinking. No, we are. But Jesus is not even talking about Babylon or Assyria or Rome. He's talking about their sin. And he said, verse 34, "I say to you, everyone that committed sin is a bondservant." That's what he's trying to help them with. Their sin. And so they need to get out of that. And the truth will free them from that. And he's setting them up so that one day they will obey the gospel. Look at Acts 26:18, what Larry read. That they would repent and they would come out of this power of darkness. How? Through belief and obedience to the gospel. Knowledge is, you know, the devil is powerful, but God is more powerful. And so to open their eyes, knowledge is power. We are enlightened, brethren, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. How, Paul, verse 17, by Paul going out and preaching the word of God. The gospel frees. When we obey the gospel, Romans 6:22, we are free from sin. For freedom did Christ set you free, Galatians 5:1, Galatians 5:13. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4, you see, and other Bible passages. We can truly be free from sin, the shackles of sin, the servitude of sin, the slavery of sin can all be broken by the liberty of truth. Why is the gospel, James 1:25, why is it called the law of what? The law of liberty. The law of liberty. Why is it called that? Because it is so powerful to free us from the bondage of sin. Well, we have to really want the truth, and as we come to the close of our lesson, the application is simply this. We have to really want the truth. The proverb writer says, buy the truth and sell it not. Knowledge, truth, we have to really want that. And then we have to turn around and obey that. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. It's not just knowing it, but obeying it. And when we do that, have you stopped to think about, just think what you can accomplish with the truth of God's Word. Think of what you can accomplish in your life. Think of what you can be freed from. Think of what you can separate yourself from those things that are going to keep us out of heaven. The ignorance and the prejudice and the commandments of men and sin. Just think what you could change. You know, buying a car, that whole thing has changed. Things change when there's knowledge. You're no longer over the barrel anymore with the used car salesman. It's that whole thing has changed. And they know that you're walking in empowered with the ability to know a lot of things. I was talking with one earlier this year, and when I sat down, and he's a friend of mine, we've talked before here in Springfield, he said, Chris, I already know that you know what these cars are worth. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, you're right. So he said, I'm not going to, you know, do this or do that. They know. Things change. Think of what you could change by knowing the truth of God's Word. Well, as we stand and sing this song of encouragement, I wanted us to be reminded of this important principle. Knowledge is power. To free us from ignorance, prejudice, maybe the way we've been raised before. And think about Paul himself and the changes that he had to make. What changed it? Knowledge, truth, meeting Jesus. And we can have those same changes in our life. As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, if you need to make some changes, we would encourage you to come and make your life right with God. But as we leave this assembly this morning, it is knowledge and truth that we need in our life. And it empowers us to go out and live a life of service to God. We've got the devil on the run. He's fleeing from us. We're serving God. We're living right because we know what God wants us to know. We're not going to live in darkness. We're not going to live being blinded and duped and fooled. But the truth of God's Word has enlightened our life, and we're living the way that is pleasing to Him. If you're subject in some way, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Zion's call, scream the arena.